Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here at my bright red desk. Somebody came the other day and they went, "That's the bright red desk." I'm like, "It is. It sits right here in the living room." And I'm sitting at this bright red desk and I'm reporting into you on the week of January 26, 2015. How did it get to be the end of January? Next Sunday is February 1st. Oh, my God, Groundhog Day. So, at any rate, this is a busy week. Busy, busy. It's a three-page week. Those of you who follow the column know when I write it's a three-page week, it means there's a lot of aspects in the sky. Usually I have a page and a half, 2 pages. When I go to a three-pager, it means a lot of action. So we have a lot of activity in the heavens this week. And busy, busy. And, of course, it does feel busy, busy. I don't know about you, but I'm just like, how the heck did it get to be the end of January, and where did it go? So we're zooming along into 2015, and we are in 8 years, so it is a lot about manifesting. So we're going to talk about how you can work with the energy in the week ahead and manifest to your heart's content. Or if you're really feeling that Pisces Mars, you want to go to bed and pull the covers over your head, this is a great week for doing it, particularly towards the end of the week when Mars links up with Chiron. We have a little wounding at the end of this week, which is never fun, but it always gives us an opportunity for healing. So Mars Chiron at aspect happens once every 2 years, and it does happen this week. So that means somebody's gonna wanna make you cry. So we have to kind of go, okay, you wanna make me cry? Now remember, Chiron, you know, we love him. He's a great guy. He's an asteroid or Kuiper belt energy. I don't even know what he's quite technically called anymore. But he runs between Saturn and Uranus. And, you know, the centaurs integrate. Their job is to integrate the bestial, the body nature, the horse part of the body, because remember, they're half horse, half person, with the mental, intellectual end of the body, which is the human part. But the centaurs, you know, had a bad reputation. When they would get party, they would get a little rowdy and drink and, you know, kind of go crazy, you know, raping and pillaging and causing all sorts of problems. And actually, there was a very interesting, you know, astrology in action energy a few years back at the conference at the UAC down in Florida, in Orlando, where there was Melanie Reinhart was giving a lecture on the centaurs. And the centaurs arrived and started pounding on the door trying to get in. And one of them was arrested and thrown into jail. So, you know, you can't make this stuff up. Astrology in action, and it's friggin' astrologers in action getting thrown into jail after having a couple of cocktails at lunch, arriving late, pounding on the door and trying to break into the party. So this week, Mars comes to Chiron. And the centaur action in us is going to be activated. Now, we all have Chiron somewhere in our chart. We all have a wound. It's a soul wound. It's a wound that can't be healed. And wherever your Chiron is the wound that can't be healed. Now, he was only discovered in 1977. And if you look at his symbol, he looks like the handicap symbol. He's the circle with the cross on the top. Looks like the wheelchair thing for the handicap section in the parking lot. And what he really is where we're handicapped. And we, you know, of course, we're all differently abled, you know, and that's when the handicapped people started saying, don't call us disabled, call us differently abled. And we each have Chiron somewhere in our chart in the same way we each have all the other planets. So where we have Chiron is where we've been wounded by, in our soul, in a deep, deep, sensitive place. Now, he's in Pisces right now. And Mars is coming to him this week and going to stimulate him. And, of course, as it builds up, we're going to feel the energy building up. And, of course, whenever there's an action in the heavens, we feel it in Earth, we feel it in our bodies. He's in the sign of Pisces. So, as we all know with my little adventure last summer, you know, feet. Pisces rules the feet. So be very careful of your feet this week, okay? You know, wear those boots. Wear those metal-toed shoes if you work in a factory. Watch for falling knives, things like that, because Mars is knives, Chiron is feet. You know, you can cut your feet, literally. Not that we want you to cut your feet, but on another level, Mars is going to come and cut your soul. Oh, you say, I didn't think he could cut my soul. Yes, we all have the wound somewhere. And it's the wound that doesn't heal. Because remember, Chiron was the, his mythology was he was, he actually was the product of rape. And he came out half horse, half man, and his mother went, oh my God, she'd been raped by Zeus. And didn't want him. And of course, Zeus was long gone. So he got raised by Apollo because he was half, you know, Apollo was his half brother. And Apollo was his foster parent. So he's also foster. A lot of times when there's a big Chiron aspect in the heavens, we have a big foster parent story showing up in the news where the parents that are left behind aren't good. And actually, there were those two little boys who lived for a number of months while their uncle was supposed to be watching them and their parents were held up in Africa. And everybody just kind of noticed, hey, maybe, you know, because it's winter and they're coming to school with no coats on, maybe there's a problem. And they said, well, you know, we're okay. He stops by and drops off food every now and then. so that's, of course, my first thought, ooh, Chiron, you know. And, of course, then looking in the week ahead, Mars is an orb. So watch for stories where there's been abandonment, where there's a wound, where there's a problem. So anyway, he gets born. His brother Apollo raises him, and they live happily. And he, you know, kind of starts working on learning all sorts of things. He's a really smart guy. And he starts teaching the Greek heroes stuff. You know, he teaches them how to heal themselves and how to fight and how to battle, because the centaurs were very fierce warriors because they were not afraid. They would charge into things. And one day, Hercules comes by. He'd gotten a little bit of the Medusa's blood on his arrow, and he wounds Chiron with the blood. And, of course, because Chiron's immortal, he can't fix it, and he's doomed to suffer with it. So it's a wound in his thigh, and ultimately he does say he'll take Prometheus's place because seeing he has to suffer anyway, might as well just, you know, have his liver eaten out every day anyway. So he, the gods then take mercy on both of them and set Prometheus free and put Chiron in the sky where his immortality is allowed. But so what he does is he gallops in the sky in the heavens. He's in the part of the Kuiper Belt, or Kuiper Belt, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, Kuiper, Kuiper Belt, some people call it. I should probably try that little thing that says the words out loud before I start the radio show. But anyway, Kuiper. And he gallops between Saturn and Uranus. So he's the integration point between the collective and transcendence, where we are seeking to evolve, where we're seeking to become a little transpersonal and go to the Uranian energy. And depending on your chart, and when you're born, he's either near Saturn or he's near Uranus or he's galloping somewhere between the two of them. And, of course, that says whether you're a little more Uranian or you're a little more Saturnian, depending on where he is. He has an elliptical orbit of about 50 years. So when you have your Chiron return when you're 49, 50, you kind of go, you know, this is who I am. I'm not changing. That wound that I had, never going away. Might as well best deal with it the best I can. And this week, when Mars comes to stimulate him and wound him, Mars in the sign of weapons, Pisces in the sign of feet, Chiron in the sign of sacrifice, we may find that we're being sacrificed or that we're feeling a re-energizing of the wound. So I do want you to be careful and watch for that. That happens at the end of the week. The actual day is, hang on one second, let me get my papers here. The actual day is the 31st at 3:23 in the afternoon, and he then starts a new two-year cycle of healing. So this is also an excellent time if you've been postponing healing. Right before I started the show, I got an email from one of my clients saying, oh, my God, we found out my father had a heart attack, and he's only been using half his heart. They want to put a stent in. Should he do it right away or wait? I'm like, do it right away. The guy's heart's pumping hard to keep him alive. Do it right away, Mars Chiron. So he'll have a whole new healing opportunity at the end of the week. Do not, with this aspect, fool around with any health things. Go to the doctor. Quick. Because Chiron is a wound, and it can be dangerous. So no fooling around with any health matters this week. Because he goes in, he joins with Chiron on Friday. But that means he's aggravating it all week. Remember 9/11? Mars was at, you know, Mars happens ahead of time. So we feel it as it's coming in. It's not an exact, like Uranus is exact to the day. Mars is the energy builds and builds and builds. So watch where you're feeling wounded. Watch where your Pisces energy of 15 is, because that's where the conjunction takes place. and watch that energy kind of going. And know, you know, we all have a wound somewhere in our soul. They're meeting at 1510 Pisces. We all have a soul wound. That's just kind of how we're built. Something, you know, our soul's in here to solve some heal, to heal and solve something. And often, interestingly, people teach from their Chiron. And the Magi school of astrology, the Magi school of astrology, not Magi, it sounds like magpies, Magi school of astrology, they noted that once Chiron was discovered in 77, he's often prominent when we're getting married or when we meet our soulmate. Because our partner who we want to marry and partner with sees our soul. So we often find Chiron very active in deep and profound personal relations. And, of course, that's why when they break up, we tend to be a little badly behaved because our soul is wounded. But when we're falling in love and they see our soul and we feel seen, we feel the rapture, we feel recognized for who we are. So Chiron's a really important guy. Again, you know, as these planets get discovered, we become conscious of them. And he's about our conscious integration between the limitations of Saturn, where we feel fear, humiliation, shame, should, karma, and how we, Uranus, break free, transcend, change, you know, heal the chains that bind us, step free from the sins of the Father that get passed down from Uranus to Saturn. It's where we're released from captivity. But it's also where on a bad day we feel pretty rotten. So our job with Chiron Mars is to know we have it, and then it runs until March or until January 16th of 2017. This starts a new two-year cycle because Mars, of course, takes 2 years to go around, and he catches up. The other thing we have this week, on a happier note, Venus goes into the sign of her exaltation, Pisces, on the 27th, and she's going to be in Pisces until February 20th, which means that lovely North Node in Pisces, or in Libra, is answering to Venus in Pisces. So we're all going to fall in love. There's a little lovey thing happening this week because we're going to feel, as she gets out of Aquarian, which is she's been a little detached and a little chilly, but pointing out what needs to change. Now she's going to go into Pisces, and we're going to want to have pajama days. Or I got to watch for the macaroni and cheese because when I tell you Venus in Pisces, I'm always like, oh, yeah, the comfort foods. And it is a good time, and that's going to happen on the 27th. Of course, we are due to have a massive snowstorm here in New York on Monday and Tuesday, so everybody gets to stay home in bed on Monday the 27th, at least on the East Coast, as that nor'easter blows in off the Atlantic Ocean. And as Venus enters Pisces, she's going to be in that till February 20th. So we have a kinder, gentler Venus running the North Node of Destiny and running all the Taurus planets and Libra planets in the sky. You know, as the moon goes through, she's kinder, gentler, and as planets go through Taurus and Libra, not that that many are going to be in that, but, you know, the moon goes through it, and the nodes and the angles and all that are much nicer. So our job this week is to go, let's take a brief pause for the moons. The moon on the 26th is void in the morning, Monday morning, void from 9:23 to 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. And she goes void with the sextile to Venus, which is why Saturday and Sunday were incredibly productive. Because she's, you know, the moon in Aries is talking to Venus and they're happy. Then she goes in, the moon goes into Taurus, 11:30 on Monday. And she's in Taurus all day Monday afternoon, all day Tuesday, going void at 9:18 p.m. Tuesday night with a square to Jupiter. Now, Taurus moon's happy, squaring Jupiter and Leo, extra happy. She tends to spend stuff. So I was sitting here earlier today. There's this table I coveted. I've been coveting, actually. And I didn't buy it because I broke my foot and I had medical bills. So for whatever reason, this last couple of days, I've been on the internet looking for it at a good price. And I'm like, Ann Ortley, yeah, you know, and I'm looking at that Venus and Taurus squaring that Jupiter and Leo, and I'm thinking I'm buying that table this week. Those of you who've been here in person, my dining room table is very lovely, but it's very old, and it's squeaky, and it's noisy, and it's really time for it to retire, but we're not telling it just yet. So anyway, there's this table that I fell in love with, and I didn't get it, you know, because I broke my foot. So I'm having table fantasies. So we'll see. I may have to resist because Mercury is retrograde after all, although it is on my ascendant, and I do love that table. So anyway, we're going, the moon is in Taurus, and it's void all day on Wednesday, after having gone void at 9:18 And it goes into Gemini at 5:30 on the 28th. And it's in Gemini Wednesday night, all day Thursday. And then it goes void at 4:24 in the morning on the 30th, when the moon sextiles Jupiter. Again, a lovely closing aspect. An air moon sextiling fire Jupiter. Everybody's happy. The moon is void all day Friday. Okay, so we're void all day. We're void all day Wednesday, and we're void all day Friday. Remember, we have a lot of void moons because all the planets are in early signs, early degrees of the signs. At 2 in the morning, on Saturday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, the moon goes into Cancer. We love Cancer moons. And it's in Cancer all day Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, the 1st, it goes void with a trine to Mars. Again, a productive day. The moon is all day. Moon is void all day the 1st, but it's a very productive day. And then it goes into Leo bright and early. Well, not bright and early, 12:41 p.m. on Monday the 2nd. But it is void all day Friday. So we have three all-day void moons, all day Wednesday, all day Friday, all day Sunday, which that means with all this energy in new, remember that sun, that Saturn's in Sag, so he is pushing us to go fast, 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 and we're getting stuff done, and then we're like, oh my God, I have all this other stuff to do, I have all this other stuff. So the void moons are really designed to allow you to take a little more time to think and plan, because technically you're not supposed to work on new stuff. You can work on old stuff. And you can work on finishing it up. And as I said last week, somebody wrote and said, I didn't understand what you were talking about. Discrete tasks. I'm going to repeat myself. I do appreciate listener feedback. Thank you very much when you go, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Last week I told you to play with your Venuses too. A couple people complained about that. Hey, you know, it's like it's a radio show. You know, what do you want? So I lost my train of thought. All right, it'll come back, or it won't. It'll be gone. What was I just talking about? Well, we'll go back to the it's Neptune, man. Just too much Neptune lately. All right, we did the moons. Sun this week, and it'll hopefully come back to me. And if it doesn't, it's gone into the vapors. Hi, Remo. You want to come get petted? Sun is going between 6 Aquarius and 12 Aquarius, moving pretty clip. Pretty good clip. He is combust Mercury on the 30th, making, remember, Mercury's retrograde. And so Mercury joining the Sun combust in Aquarius makes for cold words that aren't necessarily, people aren't necessarily thinking about how they're hurting your feelings when they say it. And the Sun is opposite Juno on the 29th, so there's a desire to separate from partner. So when I see that, I always kind of go, you know, this is when they say, you know, I'm not good enough for you. You deserve something better. And you need to say, when if you get that speech this week, you need to go, you know, you're right. I do deserve somebody better than you. I'm out of here. Don't take it as I should talk them out of it. Because right behind this, hi, Remo, honey, right behind this, the Sun trines the nodes of destiny. Venus is going into Pisces. She's saying, why are you staying with someone who doesn't think, you know, thinks they're not good enough for you? Go on, move along. Don't waste time here. And the Sun's trine to the node on the 1st of February, on Sunday, is very much about, well, if you're not the right one, let me get moving. Now, mind you, Mercury is going to catch up to the Sun down the road a piece. So they may come back. But if they give you the whole, you know, I need my space, I don't know where I'm doing, and all that speech this week, take them on their word, move on. Do not mourn it. The energy is just way too powerful for new things coming in to waste time feeling bad about the old. Of course, Mars on Chiron, they might say a mean speech, and then you're going to cry on the weekend, but you know the goal is no tears, no unnecessary tears. Take a page out of Dan Savage, my favorite sex columnist, who goes, it didn't work, move along. You know? Of course, you know, he's a gay guy, so they can move along. But for the rest of us, no time on boo-hoo-hoos. Energy's too powerful to boo-hoo-hoo anybody. Just go, that was a learning experience. Time for the new one. So anyway, Mercury sextiles Uranus, on the 28th. So Mercury's very active. He's going from 15 Aquarius backwards to 7. And he is quite active. He meets the nodes of destiny on the 28th, so watch for contracts, offers. Again, it is Mercury retrograde, so double-check the contract. It does not prohibit signing contracts. It just says caution, and the deal will change. Because that's what happens when Mercury's in Aquarius. You find out something didn't happen or something needs to shift and change because whatever you thought happened didn't, or it now needs to be redone. And I would ask you all to say, please say a prayer, because that's when Blue Cross Blue Shield should let me know if they're going to pay some more stuff. So I would like them to pay more stuff. Mercury opposite Juno. It will determine whether I get that table. I'm sure they're going to say no. Mercury, and you just get the money and you spend it. You're just a little wild thing. Mercury opposite Juno. We're making relationship decisions on the 31st, very big ones, and it's a big time of change for us in terms of our ideas. Now, remember, Mercury's retrograde, so we're reevaluating. We're seeing something we hadn't seen before. He's in an air sign. He wants his freedom. He's answering to Saturn in Sag. He's answering to Uranus in Leo in Aries, blowing up the world. He's just not in the mood. And normally, he's very detached, and he, you know, intellectual, and he sees the whole thing. But he's retrograde, answering to two planets that are pretty feisty right now. So people's minds are just kind of changing or shifting or breaking free of old restrictions and breaking loose. Venus goes from 28 Aquarius to 6 Pisces. So she's moving pretty good. She's moving a degree a day, which is a pretty fast clip for our girl, our gal pal. As I mentioned before, she enters Pisces on the 27th, which makes everything much nicer. So this is excellent for love, for relationships, for contracts, for money, for writing, for being in the flow, because Venus is exalted in Pisces. She's very happy. Right before she does that on the 26th, she has a little bit of a stressful energy with Pluto when she's at 29, squaring Pluto at 14 cap. So the two of them are kind of having a little squabble, and it can be about triangles. Now remember, triangles exist to help us transform. Egg and the sperm change into the geoblast, turns into a baby. The tomato and the lettuce, they get cut up, they turn into a salad, they can't go back. And we like triangles, except when we don't. And this week you might find that some of the triangles you're in or some of the triangles your partner is in are not to your liking. If that is the case, they are in the triangle for a reason. It's teaching them something. You're in the triangle for a reason. It's teaching you something. But there can be stress around it on the 26th. And then Venus in Pisces goes, okay, I'm going to trust that the soul is evolving for the right reason, and I'm not going to worry about it. And when I have that little fight on the 26th, I'm just going to go Venus into Pisces. Okay, it's all about love. And what do I love? Now, interestingly, right behind that on the 30th, Venus squares Saturn. So she's, you know, Saturn's in Sag and Venus is in Pisces. So this is kind of a little bit of a breaking free energy where she says, you know, I was thinking I'd go on a cruise. She's in Pisces. And I'd leave you here to work, Saturn in Sag. Go to the office in that high building, at least in New York. And I'm going to leave now and let her go. Take her out. Don't let her stay home and be miserable. Get her out the door and have her be happy. She has a biquintile to the North Node of Destiny on February 1st, and she joins up with Neptune on February 1st. So if there's a, you know, kind of a fuddy-duddy, not working kind of thing going on, she has a little fight on the 30th. Stomp, stomp, stomp. She goes out the door. And on the 1st, she meets somebody cute. I had a client once, and she was dating this guy, and he was a pretty selfish guy. And he would always say things to her like, you know, you're too good for me. You should really break up with me. You should really break up with me. I'm not good enough for you. I'm not good enough for you. And, you know, and she was of the mind she should convert him. I'm always like, no, no, no. When they say that, they really mean they're not good enough for you. Don't go there. But it took a while. She was working hard. She really loved him. And so one day they had this big fight. And she stomped off, and she was with a friend of hers, and she walked out of the place where they had the fight, and she went next door into this other place, and she met the guy that she married, right? So that's the aspect this week. And I'm thinking of her as I see this. I'm like, okay, she met the guy she married. She walked off because they had this little, you're not, I'm not good enough, blah, 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 that whole story. And Venus joins Neptune on the first, starting a new year-long cycle around love and desire and passion and creativity. But before she has that, she has a no on the 30th. So when you get the no on the 30th, do not take it personally. Ask again. Ask somebody else. Go out the door into the place next door and see who you meet. Venus wants to bring you a whoosh of love, a whoosh of creativity, a whoosh of expansionness. As I mentioned earlier, this is a three-page week. I got a lot to go, and I'm only on Mars. Holy cow, I got to speed up. Mars this week goes from 11 Pisces to 15 Pisces. He's moving along pretty fast, too. He has an aspect with the nodes of destiny on the 28th, which can be a health aspect, but that also can be that nothing moves because of that big snowstorm that's blowing in off the northeast, because he's aspecting the nodes of fate and not having anything move very quickly. And he does have a huge aspect with Poseidon on the 27th, and we don't always talk about Poseidon, but he's the ocean. And those northeasters, the reason they're so snowy is because they come in with all that water off the ocean. So there's going to be a big storm. And then Mars sextiles Pluto on the 30th. That's when we're finished digging out. And those of you with heart attack issues, Mars is in conjunct to Uranus on the 29th, so no fooling around. If you feel a little pain, go in. Do not keep shoveling, because this is going to be a heavy, wet snow, according to the astrological forecasts and the weather forecasts. Mars joins Chiron for a two-year cycle starting on January 16th, and he also has a biquintile with Juno on the 31st. So you have the fight with, now remember these, I'm doing them in order of Venus and Mars, planetary order. Remember, Venus had a fight with Saturn the day before, and then she goes, I'm going to get dressed up and go out and look pretty. Venus biquintile Juno on the 31st. And then Venus aspects the nodes of destiny on the 1st and falls in love because she joins with Neptune, or she gets drunk in her beer. But either way, she's moved on. Jupiter has no aspects this week. Woohoo. Saturn has no aspects this week. Woohoo. Uranus has an aspect to colds and health on February 1st, so people can definitely catch a little schnuckle nosy thing. And Uranus trines Pallas Athena on the 30th, which is unexpectedly breaking your patterns, right? Now, I periodically give people lectures on intermittent reward systems when they come to my house and they're in an addictive relationship with somebody. I'm going to take a moment for intermittent reward systems here. Skinner, calling on my psychology background as a young college grad, young college student, Skinner realized that when you let the mice know three pushes, push, 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 they get a pellet. They know, push, 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 they get a pellet, push, 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 they get a pellet. They're happy. When you put them on an intermittent reward system, which means five pushes, three pushes, 10 pushes, 20 pushes, and they don't know when they're going to get the pellet, they get a little excited and they keep pushing the bar because they never know when the pellet's coming. It's intermittent reward systems are addictive. People are the same way. If you were playing a slot machine and every time you pulled it out, you won, or every three times you pulled it, it would be boring. The reason slot machines are interesting is because you never know when the little ching-ching is going to hit the dish. Now, we as people are addictive, just like those rats. And sometimes our partners, our love partners, or our people in our life put us on intermittent reward systems, right? And it makes us addictive and a little crazy because we never know when we're going to get the pellet. So this week, great week, Uranus trine Pallas Athena, to see the intermittent reward system that you're on and kind of go, you know, I don't think I'm sticking around for that pellet. I think I'm out of here. So Uranus trine Pallas says, let me change my understanding of the patterns of my life. And you can do it. Neptune biquintiles the North Node on the 30th, setting you free. Chiron biquintiles Juno on the 31st. Setting you free. Vesta enters Aquarius till March 28th. She's moving out on the 28th. It's a lot of activity this week. And Pallas Athena aspects the nodes of destiny on the 28th, inviting you to see patterns in a new way and change them and come up with a different approach to things. Very powerful week we have this week. Busy, busy, three-page week, lots of stuff running around, kind of like a three-ring circus. If you get overwhelmed, put the covers over your head. Remember, the hard aspect is the Mars coming to Chiron, which happens on the 31st. That starts a new two-year cycle. If your wound gets set off, it's okay. You'll feel better soon. And this is the British lady says, I'm done. So goodbye. Have a great week. Catch you all next week at Groundhog Day. How did it get to be February already? Take care. Bye, folks.